And we talk some cricket. The men and the women, they're set to be contracted for the next 12 months. I think it's between 17 and 20 men can be contracted and 13 and to 15 women, but they're looking at contracting the maximum amount. So 20 as it usually is. And with the men, they're talking upwards of potentially even 10 changes. What are you envisaging?
Well, firstly, I think the women will stay very consistent. They've had a lot of success, so I don't think there'll be too much change in and around the women's contracts. For the guys, well, like I said, the guys on contract last season, there was a number of them up over that, you know, 30 years of age mark. And it'll really be dictated by, excuse me, what the selectors are thinking in regards to what is the priority this summer. Are they going to prioritise Test cricket with India coming out, assuming all of our cricket goes ahead, or are they going to prioritise the short form in regards to T20 and reward 2020 players? You know, you think of, if I think of the T20 World Cup, a couple of standouts for me that probably need to come into contention. I know Marcus Stoinis and Glenn Maxwell are currently on contract, but if they're prioritising short form, those two would have to stay. Do they bring Mitchell Marsh back into the T20 setup, who's currently not on contract? Someone like Chris Lynn, for me, someone who's not on contract, but he's very much a short-form specialist. So, you know, that's one of the things the selectors will need to do. They'll need to probably sit down and think of, okay, what is our top 12 in all three formats, and how do we get that into 20 players? You know, I still see it being very important, because I guess, again, I'm a little bit old school. I believe Test cricket is still the pinnacle. So if there are individuals that are only playing one form of the game, and that being Test cricket, I believe you should still be able to get a contract. So really, your Test 11, your first 11 in Test cricket, I believe should all be on contract. And then, you know, the other 9 spots are got to be made up by players that are hopefully playing the other two formats, but then there will be the rare occasion, like someone like a Chris Lynn, that might only play 2020 with a World Cup being this year, that does sneak in, versus, you know, someone that's playing both T20 cricket and one day cricket. So a lot of individuals to talk about. You know, for test matches, someone like, you know, Joe Burns, he opened in the last test for Australia, so I'm assuming he will come into contention. He'll probably take Marcus Harris's position in that contract list and get that contract. Mitchell Marsh. The big talking one is Usman Khawaja. You know, I think Uzi is extremely talented and could play all three formats, yet for some reason he sees himself out of the Australian setup altogether. So if that's the case, if that's what the selectors feel, then I think someone like Uzi, who would have been highly ranked last year, could, you know, you could see someone like that drop out of the contract list. So big day for individual players. I would imagine every player knows, you know, the ones that have been contracted would be aware of that by now, and the ones that have lost their contract would be aware of that by now as well. So, tough night for some and a great night for others.
Is it more heavily weighted towards the player that plays the three formats, Clarkie? Or, like, if, in terms of percentage, if
rankings
you're only a test
player?
Yeah. So, if you're a test player only, what type of weight does that carry when it comes to...
Again, I don't know what the system is now, but I would imagine it's still test takes priority. There's more points for, let's say, Tim Payne, Australian test captain, but doesn't play one-day cricket and 2020 cricket.
Yep.
I think he would still be ranked in the top 10 players in Australia. You know, he wouldn't be number one, though. He certainly wouldn't get into number one. Like, you think Pat Cummins, Dave Warner, Steve Smith...
Labuschagne.
Labuschagne's not playing. He's not playing T20 cricket. Yeah. Mitchell Starc. Those four guys, Cummins, Starc, Warner, Smith, are playing all three formats. So in no particular order, there's your top four, for example. Then you would probably go to guys that are playing two formats. Yeah. But there is also extra weight for, I would imagine, for Tim Payne as Australian test captain. So, you know, if Payne is ranked, I don't know, let's say he's ranked 6th or 7th, even though he's only playing one format. So there will be guys ranked under him that are probably playing all three formats, or at least two formats.
Yep.
Clearly, Manus Labuschagne's going to be the biggest beneficiary today, you would think. He wasn't even in the top 20 last year, and well, he'd be in the top, what, five potentially players now, Clarkie.
Well, yeah, probably top, definitely, again, definitely top 10. The fact he's playing test cricket and he's just got his foot in the door in one day cricket. Yeah, I think there's no doubt, you know, he'll see himself quite high up the rankings and go from, you know, no contract to, and again, maybe there's that swap over. You know, Khawaja would have been top seven last year. Maybe Labuschagne replaces Khawaja in that ranking list, but yeah, you know, Warner, Smith, these guys now having a year of cricket back under their belt, they'll be up the top. Pat Cummins, hard to knock off that number one spot, in my opinion. Mitchell Starc playing all three formats. You know, James Pattinson comes into contention as well. I know he's had a number of injuries, but he was back in the Ashes squad and playing cricket there. I think he's someone that can play certainly one-day cricket and hopefully T20 cricket as well. You know, a few of the older bowlers, someone like Nathan Coulter-Nile might miss out, a number of injuries, not playing as much now with Jai Richardson and the likes. As I said, Josh Hazlewood coming back into that shorter form squad. Mitchell Marsh didn't get a contract last year, yet he's been playing. So, you know, it's okay to say, you know, we've got 50 players that should be contracted. I've got to fit 50 into 20. So the selectors have got a tough job, and I would imagine they'd be looking across, you know, at a number of different players to see, okay, how many formats can they play? If they can just play 2020 cricket, then maybe we don't give them a contract. But if they can play 2020 cricket and one-day cricket, then they're more likely to get that opportunity, in my opinion.
What about, and I don't know anything about this kid, but all I keep reading about how good he is and he's going to be a great all-rounder for Australia, that young guy from WA, I think his name's Cameron Green.
Yeah.
Would he be someone that would make that squad?
I think, you know, these days, and again, I don't know what percentage cuts the states are going to take, but your highest-ranked state players are still paid a very good income. So I think for young players like that, until they've actually played for Australia, I think it's very hard to lock yourself into a contract, because you can only contract, as Mido said, somewhere between 17 and 20 international men's cricketers. So you'd probably think for somebody that hasn't played for Australia yet in any format, they're more likely to be in their top one or two state contracts versus getting into the top 20 international contracts.